As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So let's take a look at just a few popular Bible verses used to support this concept of the Trinity and see if we can make some sense of them from an Islamic perspective. One of the most popular ones is here in John 14, 6 to 9, that says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'll continue with the rest of the quote in a moment, but some Christians will say, look, he's saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That has to be God. But first of all, the way is not the destination, right? That's something to keep in mind. That when you're the way to something, that means you're not the destination, you are just the way, right? And so if Jesus is the way, like a prophet guides you to the destination, which is God, paradise, etc. So that's one thing. But in addition to that, you can say that all prophets, right? Let's say, for example, Moses. At the time of Moses, you'd have to follow his way. He was the way, in order to be upon the truth, because he was the one delivering the truth. In order to gain eternal life. So his way and his teachings, that was the life. So if Moses were to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then that would be legitimate from that perspective. So there is a way to look at this verse and understand it. But furthermore, let's keep going. There's more to this. So it says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Then it says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So Christians obviously use this and say, Look, he's saying, you're looking at me. You're looking at me. If you've seen me, that means you're looking at the Father, right? So Christians say, Look, he's clearly calling himself God. And I understand that, but if you take a look at the beginning portion of it says, if you really know me, you will know my Father. So it's not about looking at someone, it's about understanding the truth that they're coming with. And is it mean literally looking at me, or does it mean seeing the miracles that I come with to prove that I am a legitimate messenger of God? So that's the way the Muslim would interpret it. Now, if you think that's a bit of a stretch, no problem. Let's take a look at John 5:37 that says, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form. So, if you want to take this as literal and say that no, Jesus was saying you're looking right at me, that means you're looking at God, then why was it the case that in John 5:37 he says, you have never heard his voice, you've never heard the Father's voice while he's saying this with his voice, and saying, nor have you seen his form while people are literally looking right at him? So, if you do take it from the literal perspective, then you have to acknowledge that he contradicts himself just prior to that. Furthermore, this idea of God being in Jesus, like he is in me. Does this mean that the truth of God is in him? That's the way the Muslim would see it. That yeah, his faith, God, the faith of God, that the truth of God, this resides within the prophet and the believers. But that doesn't make you worthy of worship. And it seems that there are many different concepts in the Bible that support this. So, for example, it says, "I am not, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying that, yeah, the Father is in me, but I'm also in you, and you are also in me. Obviously, Christians don't worship the disciples and say that they're literal gods. So from that perspective, you can see that this is talking about faith. This is talking about the truth. This is talking about how it resides within the disciples, the same way it resides in Jesus. This does not make him divine. I hope that's clear. Otherwise, you have to worship the disciples, which I don't think Christians do. Next one is in 1 John 4, 16 to 17. This really makes it clear. It says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. So, this is a statement saying, look, anybody who has love has God within them. Does that mean that you worship people who are in love? The answer is obviously no. So again, this type of language is not claiming divinity. I hope that's clear. The next verse that I think is one of the most popular with regards to the divinity claim is John 10:30. I and the Father are one. Seems pretty straightforward, right? Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. So now, of course, you could just point to all those verses that I mentioned that showed that he differentiates himself in terms of his glory and in terms of his nature and in terms of his knowledge, in terms of his goodness, and in terms of his, what else was it? Anyway, there's a whole list of them. So that could just be a contradiction. But let's say it's not a contradiction. Let's try to reconcile it. There is a way to reconcile it by just simply acknowledging that this is not literally one as from a divinity claim, but rather one in terms of message and truth. Let's take a look how that is the case. So if you read a little further, what does it say? I and the Father are one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good works, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. It seems like they got the point. It seems like they got Christianity. That's Christianity right there. It seems that the Jews are accusing him of blaspheming and saying that he is God, literally. And so he should have been like, you got it, right? He should have just told them, right, yeah, that's it. You finally figured it out. But instead of saying that, he says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods, and it's in quotations, and lowercase g. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? So, Jesus asked them, why would you state that I am blaspheming and literally claiming myself to be God if you know that you use this type of metaphorical language all the time? And he cites Psalms 82:6, and the reference says, I said, you are gods, you are all sons of the Most High. Now, this is a statement to the Jews, and obviously the Jews don't consider themselves literally the sons of God, sons of God to be worshipped. Rather, they say this in the sense of like they are like godly men, holy men, righteous men, and so forth. Now, so you have a bit of a complicated play between literal and metaphorical. It seems like Jesus claiming to be the Son of God, and they're like, oh, that's literal, you're blaspheming, we need to stone you. And he's like, whoa, slow down. It seems that he is saying, no, I'm not saying it from a literal perspective, I'm saying it from a metaphorical perspective. In fact, you guys use it that way too. I can cite to you the scripture where you guys talk like that. If you guys can do it, why can't I? That's the Islamic way of understanding this sort of section. That the Jews say, you claim to be God's son literally, now we must kill you. And Jesus says, wait, you guys claim to be God's sons metaphorically, so what's wrong if I use that same language? If anything, given all the miracles you've witnessed from me, I'm even more entitled to do so. That would be the way that the Muslim would interpret this passage. And furthermore, if you are to take it literally, that becomes very problematic, because if you take John 10:30 that says, I and the Father are one, and you take John 14:28 that says, the Father is greater than I, you come to an equation. If you put these two things together, you get this statement, Jesus is greater than Jesus. I hope you can see how confusing that is and how problematic that is. So taking it from the literal perspective is really problematic. Furthermore, if you take it from the literal perspective, the story really doesn't even make sense just from a coherence perspective. And I tried to give this analogy. I don't know if anybody's going to benefit from this analogy. It might be a little bit of a stretch here. I'm trying here, okay? So here we go. Here's a comparison. This is just my own imagination. Imagine the following conversation between a group of friends. So imagine one guy says, hey, when there's a full moon, I literally become a werewolf. I'm not a man, I'm a beast, okay? So his friends say, yo, what are you talking about? You sound crazy right now. And they're like really taken aback by that. So then he responds and says, well, one of you guys, when one of you guys does a nice move in basketball, doesn't everybody say, whoa, he's such a beast? And they're like, yeah, we use that term metaphorically all the time, sure. And then he says in response, well, okay, you use it metaphorically, well, I'm using it literally. I'm a werewolf. I'm literally a beast. Clearly his friends would respond and say, so what was the point of even mentioning the basketball example? Why did you even bring up the fact that we use it in basketball? It has no bearing on the conversation. Do you guys see the point? It was useless to bring it up. If Jesus says, I and the Father are one, literally, and then the Jews pick up stones to stone him, they're like, you're blaspheming, you're saying you're literally God. And he's like, whoa, don't you guys use it metaphorically? And they're like, yeah. He's like, well, I use it literally. Yeah, exactly, that's why we're going to stone you. What? Why would you even bring that up? What bearing does that have on the conversation? I've put this to some Christians, and I've shockingly actually gotten the answer from some Christians who said, he said it as a distraction. That was the best answer I ever got. I still think it was horrible, but I mean, that was the best attempt at an answer to that question. basically he was just distracting them. He could have been saying, "Hey, look over there, there's a bird," and they're like, "What? What?" and then just runs away, like just distracting them. Seriously, that was the answer. But that was the best a person could make sense of this. If you guys can make any more sense of why he would bring up the metaphorical use, even though he is using the literal use, why? What is it? What is it? It's nonsense. So anyway, I don't understand it. I do understand it from the Islamic perspective. The Islamic perspective seems very clear, seems very comfortable, that he's saying that I and the Father are one, and they're like, "Oh, you mean literally?" He's like, "No, of course not. You guys use this type of language all the time. Why would you accuse me of blasphemy when you guys speak in the same way I do? You know what I mean. What I mean is that we are one in terms of one in message, one in terms of truth. I'm showing you miracles. You guys hear what I'm saying. You guys know what I'm speaking is the truth. So I'm on God's side, and God is on my side, and we're together. I'm his messenger." So anyway, that seems to be the Islamic perspective, and that seems to make the most sense. Otherwise, I literally can't make sense of this story. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.